And welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight. Good to have your company here. And a shout out to anyone listening through 100.9 FM Noongar Radio in Boorloo, up in Kununurra through Warringarra Media. G'day to you. 6DBY in Derby and nationally through the National Indigenous Radio Service. The Law Matters program is brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Been on air since 2010 and love bringing you news and stories and particularly information about what's going on in the area of law and justice around the country. My first guest in a few minutes' time is Ben Grimes, who is the CEO of NAJA. NAJA is the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency. And I'm really curious to find out what's happening in the NT because NAJA are taking the Northern Territory government to the federal court over its laws that are capping compensation payouts. So looking forward to having a yarn with Ben Grimes shortly here on the program. In the second half of our show today, I'm going to be having a yarn with Gina Williams. Gina is an extraordinary woman, a talented woman from here in Western Australia who has been performing for over 15 years around the world, recording studio albums and unveiling two opera works as well. And Gina released a live album of Gina Williams and Guy Gowse live at the Ellington earlier this month. And it was an especially emotional release because it followed the passing of Guy Gowse AM in November last year. So looking forward to chatting with Gina, and I'm sure you'll enjoy meeting her on the program today. So let's kick it off with a song from Gina Williams and the late Guy Gowse, a song called Kundam.
Thank you. Court to Mort. So from heart to family, people we choose as our family. I love this because I'm a product of a village. I have family that made me, my biological family. I have family that chose me, my adopted family. I have family that rescued me, my first foster family. And then I have family that showed me tough love, because by the time I got to my second foster home, I was a pretty angry, very damaged little girl. I'm so grateful for the love and the care of the village that rallied to raise me, though, because all paths lead to here, and I get to live like Cinderella. It's amazing. And with my lucky gig socks. So I don't like foot prisons much. So Guy gets me gig socks, and these are my lucky ones. They're cool. Yes, indeed. So we're going to do a song that we wrote for my Uncle Tom Hayden, rest in peace, who Guy and I started writing songs in language, we went to him for some advice because we knew we wanted to do something, we didn't know what we wanted to do, and he said it's easy, four things. So he came up with the Court Bujja Korlinga concept, and we've adopted that as part of our life. And we love him very much, and we wanted to honour him in a song. So this song for Uncle Tom is called Song for Uncle Tom. And it's a hat tip to my mum as well, who loved country music.
We're going to leave it there for now, because we're going to be coming back to Gina Williams in the second half of our program today and hear some tracks live at the Ellington that were recorded back in 2024 by Gina Williams and Guy Gowse. Looking forward to chatting with Gina at the halfway mark of our show today. Meanwhile, we're heading to the north of this country, up to the Northern Territory, where NAAJA, the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency, are taking the Northern Territory government to the federal court over its laws capping compensations payouts. And joining me on the line from Darwin is Ben Grimes, the CEO of NAAJA. Ben, first time on the program. Welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Jodie. Great to be with you.
First, let's let our listeners know a little bit about you, Ben, and your role as CEO of NAAJA.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be at NAAJA this occasion for about 12 months, but I started with NAAJA, 18 years ago as a baby lawyer, criminal lawyer. I'm a Darwin boy, went away for uni, but came back to the Territory as soon as I could. And then, yeah, since that time, worked with the Aboriginal Interpreter Service, taught law at the university, and worked with some other remote Aboriginal organisations, and then had the good privilege to come back to NAAJA. And it's we've got a great team, but a pretty terrible government at the moment.
Look, not too much that we're hearing coming out of the Northern Territory is good news. Can you paint a picture of the political environment up there in the Northern Territory for us?
Well, we've got a pretty small parliament, so only 25 members and only 4 or 5 in opposition at the moment. So there's not a lot of, we don't have two houses of parliament. We don't have any particularly good sort of independent scrutiny mechanism. So CLP has a really big majority. They unfortunately ran the last election on a really strong on crime, tough on crime, law and order type of campaign, which they say gives them a mandate to do a whole bunch of things that are pretty damaging to especially a lot of Aboriginal communities and families. So we've had a whole bunch of changes just in the last 24 months. We've increased our prison population by nearly 25%. The number of criminal court cases has increased by about 30%. They've lowered the age of criminal responsibility down to 10, which has seen, 10 and 11-year-olds going into prison who shouldn't be there. They dismantled our treaty process. They're making some pretty big child protection legislation changes. I could unfortunately, go on with another 10 or so pretty big examples that are really impacting people here in the Northern Territory. But just, one number, I think that just shows sort of the day-to-day side of it is before they came into power, about, probably about 20, 25 to 30 Aboriginal people were getting arrested a day. They've pushed that up to about 40 every single day.
Wow.
And so that just creates a whole flow-on impact across the community.
Oh, look, it's just frightening, isn't it, Ben? I mean, and here in Western Australia, we operate the custody notification service, which of course means that when an Aboriginal person is arrested or apprehended by the police in WA, they by law have to call our 24/7 custody notification service. And by the end of this year, our current estimates are that we'll have received 50,000 calls. That's 50,000 mob being arrested in the period of 1 year. Look, the country is definitely going backwards. Naja has been around for a long, long time. Give us an overview of what you guys do, and then I want to talk about this federal court matter.
Yeah, so Naja has been around for just a bit over 50 years. Over the years, we've had sort of local Aboriginal legal services join together. So we used to have sort of, four or five smaller regional Aboriginal legal services, and over the time they've all merged to form Naja. So we're territory-wide. We're the biggest legal service in the Northern Territory by a long shot, so we're much bigger than the mainstream legal aid service. We've got about 220 staff, about 100 lawyers, and so we do, criminal matters. We go out to all of the bush courts. So I think our crim lawyers are driving, about 120, 130,000 kilometres a year to get out to those bush courts. We do legal education. We've got a range of civil law, which works with, child protection, housing, Centrelink. And then I suppose the other part of Naja that's really important and is growing is our prison support, so our through care services, working with people before release and after release. Mm-hmm. And then we're also putting a really big emphasis at the moment on Aboriginal peacemaking and mediation to basically say, look, there are much better ways of doing justice. Yeah. And those ways are when we actually give elders and community control and a say, we always get better results.
Ah, look, it's not rocket science, is it? And I wonder when the decision makers are going to actually understand that the current system is not working, and there are ways of moving forward that provides more access to justice and an equitable outcome and better human rights for our people. But my guest is Ben Grimes, CEO of Naja, which is the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency. You guys have launched legal action against the Northern Territory Government in the Federal Court over its laws that limit how much compensation it must pay people when it acts unlawfully within prisons. Tell us what the situation was with regards to compensation and the changes that you're now challenging.
So a lot of listeners might remember the very, terrible incidents that were captured on camera coming out of Don Dale.
We saw it on Four Corners, I think, was the first time saw him talking about young Dylan Voller.
Yeah, and so out of that proceeding, Naja represented a number of young men who were held in Don Dale, including four young men who we've just actually 2 weeks ago got our second decision from the High Court in support of these young men, where the High Court awarded exemplary damages against the Northern Territory government. They said that the government's actions toward these young Aboriginal boys was reprehensible and that they needed to send a really strong signal that the government has no, when the government acts unlawfully, the courts will punish the government, which is completely appropriate. Mm. But so that case has been to the High Court twice. We won both times. Those young boys who were mistreated, unlawfully assaulted by the Northern Territory government, finally got justice. But one of the things the government did as a result of those cases was change the laws about paying compensation. And so basically what they did is said, if a government worker assaults a young person or an adult in detention or in prison, does an unlawful strip search or unlawfully detains them, that compensation is capped to about, between $3,000 to $6,000 for an illegal assault. And a maximum of $18,000, no matter how many times you assault somebody in the course of action, which is just outrageous, because if an ordinary person did that to another person and there was a civil lawsuit, you'd be paying, you know, at least $50,000 off and $100,000 in damages.
Makes you feel like we don't matter as much, doesn't it?
Yeah, sorry, say again.
It makes you feel as though we don't matter as much.
Exactly. Yep. No, I couldn't agree more. And it's holding the government basically saying they don't have to hold themselves to the same standards that everybody else does. And, of course, this almost exclusively impacts Aboriginal people. So it's pretty terrible. We think it just, you know, it's not common sense. It doesn't match any ordinary person's sense of fairness. And so what we're doing is we're actually challenging those laws on the basis that they're racially discriminatory in the federal court, and saying the government is not allowed to say that they can unlawfully assault Aboriginal people and not have to pay the same amounts of compensation that anybody else would have to pay.
And Ben, I'm imagining that this is a landmark case.
It will be. Yeah, it will be. And I guess, you know, so with all of these cases, then they can take some time because, you know, we're very convinced we've got a strong case. But if we win, no doubt Northern Territory government will appeal, and then we'll have to, you know, appeal again potentially. So, you know, unfortunately, we might be looking at a few years ahead of us before we get a final binding decision. But when we get it, I think it's going to be important for the whole country.
Particularly when you talked about some of the issues that are happening in the Northern Territory, and unfortunately we hear about the NT too much in terms of what is going wrong, and particularly the effect that's having on First Nations peoples throughout that area. Are you confident? I mean, I guess you would be confident because you wouldn't embark on taking the Northern Territory government to the federal court unless you believed you had a good, solid case.
Yeah, that's right. We are very confident, and you know, when we do these big cases, we put a lot of thought into it, and not just for us as the legal service, but for our clients as well. We don't want to lead clients along where we're not, you know, confident. Make sure we give them really good advice. But one of the things too, I think that's important to recognise with these big cases is there's a lot of courage on behalf of our clients because they know that, you know, the spotlight's going to be put on them, that this might take a few years, there's going to be media attention, there's, you know, people say all sorts of horrific things on social media that are racist and unwarranted and unfair. And, you know, credit to our clients who stand up and say, no, this, what happened to me was wrong, and if it takes me 5 years, we're going to do it and we're going to pursue justice. So, you know, I really do give our thanks to our clients who are willing to stand up and walk with us on this process.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be an easy journey for them to take because, you know, quite often our young people are reliving the trauma that has happened to them. But when you're talking about children as young as 10, at the age of criminal responsibility, it's just outrageous. And so Nadja is arguing that the compensation caps do not apply because the alleged conduct amounted to child abuse. It's terrible to think that, you know, our kids are being harmed within the system anyway, because there is an obligation to a duty of care, isn't there?
It is. And one of the things that we're concerned about is currently, partly because of these caps, it takes away incentives for people to actually, you know, hold the government to account and put in a formal complaint. And so we think, you know, numbers of complaints have dropped, but that's not because number of incidents have dropped. It's because often, you know, people are told, look, there's no point in complaining because you'll get nothing from it.
No.
And the other big problem that we have in the Territory is when there is a complaint that's made and a client does pursue it, the government will usually make an offer with a non-disclosure clause. So, you know, the caps are very, very low. And so then the government might say, look, here's $20,000 to shut up and go away, but you're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, really bad cases happening in our prisons and youth detention centre, but basically people are being bought off for small amounts of money.
Yeah.
There's no public accountability. So there's no record keeping how many assaults have happened in prison, how many times have people been, you know, strip searched when they shouldn't have been and put into solitary confinement when they shouldn't have been. And so we think that winning this case is not just about the accountability and the compensation for each individual case, but it then lets us try to set up a system where we actually say, no, government's got to come clean about how many cases are happening every year.
Well, it gives us a false sense of security, doesn't it, when there are non-disclosure clauses there and we're not hearing about what's happening. Yeah. We're not hearing about the process and what the outcome is. And you have said, Ben Grimes, that it's not uncommon for people to be mistreated, to be mishandled, to be pushed, to be punched, to be shoved in the course of being transferred around the prison. It's frightening, isn't it?
It really is. And especially, you know, when we're talking about children, they should be given every care in the world with, you know, the aim of helping them to grow up into healthy, strong young people, no matter, you know, what their background has been. And this idea that we, you know, force people into prisons and detention and then actually traumatise them and then set them up to fail in the future, it's completely the wrong approach.
All right. So moving forward, Ben, Naaja has launched legal action against the Northern Territory Government in the Federal Court over its laws that limit how much compensation it must pay people when it acts unlawfully within prisons. What does the future look like in this case? What's the process?
Well, it will. So in the next 2 months or so, we should get our hearing date. And so then we'll have to argue our case in the Federal Court. And in this particular case, there's, you know, two parts to it. So firstly, we'll have to prove actually on the balance of probabilities that our client was in fact assaulted and subjected to the different actions that we say. So we have to firstly get the facts proved, and then we do the legal argument to say that these provisions of the law that limit the caps are need to be struck down because they're not consistent with the Racial Discrimination Act. So, you know, a lot of heavy lifting, but we've got a great legal team and we've got a really strong case. But again, I think it'll probably be about 12 months or so before we get our first result.
Yeah.
And then, unfortunately, you know, we might have a series of appeals to get through.
All right. We wish you the very best. And a shout out to all our brothers and sisters and co-workers at Naaja. You know, our listeners may not be aware, but there are Aboriginal legal services right around the country, and it's you guys doing a great job in the top end. So thanks for your time on the program today, Ben, and all the best with it.
Thank you, Jody. Yeah, thank you.
Ben Grimes is the CEO of Naaja, the North Australian Aboriginal Justice Agency. This is the Law Matters program. Jody Hoffman with you this hour. Stay tuned. Coming up in a few moments, having a yarn with Gina Williams. Let's have a listen to this one, though. Bart Willoughby from my hometown, South Australia, and Computer Games, an old song you might remember from the Countdown days, originally done by MySex.
Shoot!
Ah, the very talented Bart Willoughby. God, I've been making music for a long time, that fella, and doing it really well. Originally from South Australia, Bart before this was mixed relations. Before that, no fixed address. I remember seeing them perform in Adelaide on Saturday afternoons down at the Torrens around the Festival Theatre Centre, and playing amazing music. And that would have been going back to the 70s, I'm sure. So a lot of great music. And what a great rendition of Computer Games. This is the Law Matters program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Just want to let you know that the Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs has been travelling around the country holding public hearings. They were in Perth recently, as well as Darwin and Alice Springs, for their inquiry into racism, hate and violence directed at Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. The committee's been hearing from community organisations, leaders, experts from a range of sectors, including health, law and justice, media, women's safety, as well as from individuals with lived experience of racism. And the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA did put in a submission, of course, to such an important area. And our submission covered areas like laws and policies, over-policing, case examples of and treatment of our mob in police custody, case examples such as the tragic deaths of Ms. Jew, JC, an inquest into the death of Mr. Ward and an inquest into the death of Cleveland Dodd that pointed at the extreme over-representation of our people within the justice system in Western Australia. So in coming programs, we'll let you know more about the outcomes of this Joint Standing Committee on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Affairs and the inquiry into racism, hate and violence directed at our mob. This is Law Matters. Thank you for your company. Let's have a listen to a beautiful song from Gina Williams and the late Guy Gowse. It's called Jiddy Jiddy. And when we return, Gina Williams joins me on the program.
Jiddy jiddy bop, we're knocking in.
Gina Williams and Guy Gauss, live at the Ellington, recorded in 2024 and launched, double album launched earlier this month. Beautiful music. These guys just have thrilled audiences for so many years, and I'm delighted to have Gina Williams joining us on the program today. Gina, welcome to Law Matters. How are you?
It's so good to hear your voice, Jodie.
Ah, look, you know, I probably embarrass you by saying the first time I met you was back in the Milbindi days, Gina Williams.
Memory.
I think the first time our paths crossed was probably in about 1990. And look, as I was saying off air, this is a legal program, but you know, when you're born Aboriginal in this country, you're born straight into politics. You're born straight into the areas of law. And that's why I'm really keen to have a yarn with you, but also talk about the beautiful music that has been launched. Firstly, commiserations on the loss of your beautiful Guy Gauss in November. Oh, tough
thank
times.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. And, you know, he was, I think I said this to you before, is that he was a lot of things to a lot of people. Everybody that knew him just loved him. That was his superpower, was to just love everybody. And the outpouring of grief was phenomenal. But he was my whole world.
Yeah.
You know, he was my husband, and he was my best friend, and he was my collaborator. He was my, you know, greatest challenge and my biggest blessing. So I miss him terribly.
Oh, look, our condolences to you. And you know, you guys have just the love of so many people through the sharing of music and your language and your talents. Before we talk about the album, Gina, let's turn back the hands of time and talk about your journey as an Aboriginal woman growing up in Western Australia. Let's start by where you're from, who's your mob?
Okay. Well, I was born Laurel Lee Yarran. My family are Yarran. So Tickett, Pickett, Winmars, Wires, Garlett, Jetters, all the good footy players. I claim them all. And, you know, my family, Mum was born in Kellyberrin. I was adopted at birth, and so that's, you know, but I'm a Williams. My grandmother was a Williams, so I, you know, I've got connections to lots of different familial groups. I grew up not knowing my family or any of that. And then as a young adult, I discovered, you know, I met my mum and, of course, was embraced by the community. I feel very, very lucky to be a Noongar daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I love the mob, and I love my mob, love my family, and love what we represent.
Yeah.
So that's kind of me in a nutshell, really.
You know, what a journey it's been, Gina, because, you know, in later years you've learnt Noongar language that's then been translated into song. What sent you in that direction?
Well, it's the combination of two things that I love. So I love, you know, I love the language. The language is incredibly beautiful.
Mm.
And it's connected to this place. And I think, well, why wouldn't you want to learn this language? Why wouldn't you want to share something that is so gloriously beautiful?
Yeah.
And then music is, you know, something I've always sung. So it's a combination of two things. And also I love that, like, there's a lot of darkness in this world at the moment. This, you know, so if this sheds a little bit of light, this brings a little bit of love and a bit of joy. I think our mob, you know, we deserve that.
Oh,
so, you know, we talk. There's a lot of talk about us in terms of intergenerational trauma, but I think also, you know, our elders, our old people, they also stand on the shoulders of intergenerational strength, and we should remember that and celebrate that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about how the pairing up between you and Guy came on the musical stage.
Well, we, you know, we kind of knew each other just through being at festivals and on stages around the trap. And I was living in Melbourne at the time, and he was we just started, we played a concert together. And I, as I was going back to Melbourne, he was coming back to Perth from Broome, and he said to me, I'm moving to Perth. If you ever need someone to play in Perth, look me up. And so, of course, I ended up coming back to Perth a few weeks later, as luck would have it. And we just started playing gigs together. And, of course, you know, we've always been very firm friends. And then last year we kind of put face to what we thought was the best kept secret in the world. Of course, it was the worst kept secret in the world, because everybody knew that we were together. But, you know, at the time it was, I thought, you know, this sounds awful, but I just felt like that was something that we had built together, and it was private and it was sacred. And by the time we were married, like legally married, you know, he was quite unwell, and it was too hard to hide something that everybody knew anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So, he very, very talented bloke. Tell us a little bit about the talents of Guy Gauss.
Oh, look, he was a genius. He could play any style of music. I mean, he just made that guitar sing. And, of course, you know, he could play everyone else's style, but not everyone could play Guy Gauss the way he played. He was technically brilliant. He was absolutely genius. But he was also funny. And so, like, with the new recording, you hear him, he'll play this riff and it's unbelievable. And then, you know, you kind of I used to make a bit of a fuss about it. And in true Guy Gauss style, he would immediately deflect that, you know, do something silly, or he'd jump up and do his silly, I used to call it the Munjong dance, do this silly little dance and make me laugh. And he was beautiful. His superpower was to make everyone feel like the most important and most loved person in the room. Uh-huh. But his true love was music, you know, it really was.
My guest is Gina Williams-Gauss, Ballardong, Whadjuk, Gorang, Noongar woman, with links to the Gidja people as well of the East Kimberley. Award-winning singer-songwriter who brings a modern take on ancient Noongar language using powerful storytelling, musical brilliance and beautiful songs. Could you have believed, Gina, when you first started your singing that it would evolve into what it has? Because you're internationally acclaimed. You've done opera. You sing in Noongar. You attract the best and brightest audiences wherever you go. It just must be a beautiful journey to be on.
Oh, darling, every day I feel like Cinderella at the ball. I can't believe my luck, you know. And Guy saw all of this long before I did. He was the one that was like, you know, you should write songs in language. And I'd be like, I can't get people to listen to me in English, Gauzy. Who's going to listen? And then I thought, you know, he was right. I thought, I'll give it 6 months. Just really dedicate ourselves to see what we can push in 6 months. That was like 15 years ago.
Wow.
And suddenly we were playing national festivals, and then, you know, and then we got to go over, like, we toured internationally a few times, and I just couldn't believe that people would listen, you know, and the privilege of that, how lucky. And the other thing was that I couldn't believe it would happen to me. There's so much talent in our community, you know. There's so many talented artists and singers, and, you know, and I just felt, and I'm excited, because I think, like, if I can do it, anyone can. You know, that's true.
You do it exceptionally well, though, Gina. Come on. yeah, I love your humility. But, look, you deserve every accolade that you've ever got. And the pairing of yourself and Guy, the music was just magical, magical. And the latest album that was launched on the 2nd of July was from Live at the Ellington. What a secret little jewel that is in Perth, this late-night jazz club. And it was recorded 2 years ago. It must have been very emotional but special in your heart to launch the double album.
Yeah, so Guy knew, like, in his head, that was one of the best gigs he'd ever played. He was very, anyone that knew Guy knew that he was very fussy about how things sounded, about how he played, and it was one of the few times that he'd walked off stage just going, I loved that gig, that was the best gig I've ever played. And, you know, the fact that it was recorded was by accident, And when our manager, Paul Botlovich, heard it, he was like, I think that you guys should release this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did all the real heavy lifting, and then Guy heard it, so excited about the recording, about the possibility, not just of it being launched, but actually being released on vinyl as well. He just loved all of that. He was so excited. So when we got the masters back, I couldn't listen to it for a while just because it was too raw and wasn't ready. And then we got the test pressings back for the vinyl, and I just felt him give me a little nudge and go, come on, time to get up and start moving a bit, because I haven't really sung for about a year. And just being able to listen to him, and when you hear it, he's in the room, Jodie.
Oh, Gina.
He's right there, and he's beautiful. I mean, it's so bittersweet, so sad, but what a privilege and what a joy that we've actually captured him. And you hear him being cheeky, and you hear the giggles and the laughter of the audience. I don't know, it's beautiful.
Oh, Gina. It's, yeah, as you say, look, bittersweet. One day, one step in front of the other each day and day by day. Tell us about the launch that happened at the Ellington on the 2nd of July. And I love that it's a double album, and I love that it's on vinyl, because vinyl is just such a different listening experience to chucking, Spotify or, a CD into a player. Vinyl is really crisp and raw, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it's real old school. I love, that you can look at all the liner notes, and there's, we've nicknamed it the photo album, because it's got, it's got dozens and dozens of pictures of, of a senior partnership and a friendship that, goes even longer. So I'm really, I love that. When you open it up, it makes you gasp. And, I just want to also say I'm so grateful to the love that the community has shown me during this really terrible, difficult time.
Yeah.
But, this loss is a really immense loss. And so I'm hoping that what they'll feel with this, my gift back, and Guy would have loved this. I hope that he was always concerned that he'd be forgotten. And I think through things like this that he's remembered and, remembered with great fondness and deep love.
Yeah. I know that you've said that, the album is so special, and, it brings Guy into the room. And what a beautiful legacy for you as his partner in life, but also for people who captured that love from him and between you guys over the years, to have that beautiful legacy left behind.
Yeah. It's a real privilege. I understand that not everybody gets anything like that. It's a real treat. And I'm incredibly grateful to the people that have made that possible. And mostly the people that they do come to, they share the journey with me. And I'm really thankful for that. Particularly our old people who stood by me for a really long time and have supported, not just me but Guy as well. So,
tell us what people can expect from this double album live at the Ellington.
It's basically a capture of the last live performance that Guy and I did with our band. So it's, Russell Holmes on piano, Dan Suffager on drums, Lucky Ocean on there, Rupert John on there, and of course Dr. Nick Abbey on bass. It's beautiful, funny. It sounds like a studio album. If you didn't hear the audience and the storytelling and the banter that goes on in between the songs, you would think that it's recorded in a studio. And it's funny, it's sweet, it's powerful. And the language is beautiful. The language is really the cookie. That's what shines, I believe. So, I hope people love it. I hope people, and I hope people really, when they see it, when they hear it, that they are blown away by Guy's inimitable genius.
It is a very special recording, and we played a couple of songs earlier in the program. We played Kundam to start off our program today, and Jiddy Jiddy as well. What's next for you, Gina?
Well, I've written a little children's work called Aliwa Bardna, and so that starts touring in a couple of weeks' time. So that's really exciting. We're going to be going as far north as Broome, as far south as Albany, far east. And then there's a new work in the pipeline, Australian Opera. I can't talk too much about that yet, but I'm very excited about that. And there's a few other business pieces. So I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just trying to find my feet at the moment.
Of course.
I'm easing back into doing school and, you know, just trying to put one in front of the other and trying to make sure that, you know, whatever I do, it honours the memory of my beautiful husband.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm sure he'd be very proud. And, you know, it is a beautiful legacy. And thank you to you both for everything you've contributed and the smiles that you've brought to the faces of so many, because the music is beautiful and it transcends the language barrier, doesn't it? People don't have to hang off every word and understand what's been sung because it's sung with such joy and meaning. It's a very special gift that you guys have given your audiences. We're going to finish, Gina, with a song called Meenak Bilya that I'll get you to introduce shortly. But what would you like to say to our listeners, and also how would you reflect on the beautiful magic of the music that you've been providing us with for so many years?
I would like to say a huge thank you to listeners. I'm so grateful for your love and your support and your care, and I hope that you know, enjoy this. It's important to me that we're represented in a way that is not just beautiful, but there's dignity and integrity around that as well. I love this community that I'm part of, and I'm grateful for the love that you've shown me. And I'm proudly, Yunga, I'm so proudly, you know, really kind of parochial about where I come from and what that represents. Well, I think that I represent a community that is amazing. We're, you know, we're strong and we're clever, and, you know, thank you for the privilege to be able to represent that.
Oh, look, we wish you all the best, and we're so sorry about the sadness that entered your life, but you have the support and love of so many, and thank you for sharing some of your thoughts on the program today. Tell us about what we're about to hear, Meenak Bilya.
Oh, it's well, it's an old cover, an adaptation of a song that I grew up listening to as a little girl in suburban Perth on a blanket under the stars with a dad who just wouldn't give up on me when I was told I have no aptitude for music. He taught me to sing by listening, and I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that you sing along, because there's a part, once you realise what the song is, you'll be able to sing along with me.
It's beautiful. Hey, all the best to you, Gina Williams-Gauss, and we'll look forward to seeing what you're doing next.
Thanks, love. Lots of love to you.
Lots of love. Gina Williams-Gauss joining us on the Law Matters program. The album is a double album. It was launched at the start of July. Gina Williams and Guy Gauss live at the Ellington, released through Oral Set Sounds, and was launched at a sold-out show at the Ellington Jazz Club earlier this month. Let's have a listen to it. You will remember the tune, but I don't know if you'll have heard a version this beautiful. This takes us out on our program today. Gina Williams and Guy Gauss, rest in peace. Meenak Bilya.
Thank you.
Me. Benang
nankur jakarun when jinonokulin nankichi ancestors and your ancestors this NAIDOC week. Will you join me in your best outside voices and sing?